Right, good morning, everybody. And it's our second week today on Life is for Living. Last week, I shared a picture that God had given me. I was out walking and I passed a farmer's field, and the field was very, very dead. It had lots of straw in it and lots of stubble. But then God showed me one word just written above the field, and that word was in block capital letters about a meter high, and that one word was the word life. That God was saying to me, Sandra, there is life in that field because God put life into the field. And even if the farmer never planted another seed, things would still grow in that field. You know, when we go along and we see an old tarmac path or an old road that's they've built a new road, and then they leave the old road and dog walkers use it and all the rest of it. But before long, life starts to grow through the tarmac. There's wildflowers and bushes and trees and all sorts of things begin to grow because God put life in his creation. Let's look at this scripture this week, John 14 and verse 6. And it's Jesus speaking. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the life. We've been speaking already today about breathing out the life of God, the breath of God. Life is the very essence of who Jesus is. How can we ever think that he would send death? You know, in those bad days when you get up on a Monday morning and things aren't going right and you think, oh God, why have you let this happen to me? God did not let it happen. Life just happens. God doesn't send the bad stuff. These things just happen. Jesus is life, and he wants to breathe life into us and into our situation. So I've got a second vision that I want to share this week. And again, I saw a field, and it had some good plants growing in it. They were strong and they were healthy. But then I was able to see under the soil where the plants were growing. And there were more seeds, just tons of them lying under the soil that hadn't even begun to grow yet. There was so much more potential in that field than I first thought. So if you just look on the surface, you think, this is what's on the surface. But there's so much more potential in every piece of soil out there. You've got no idea. Recently, about last summer, my friend bought a new house. Lovely little house in St. Andrews. And she moved into the house. I think it was in winter that she moved in. So she had no idea what plants were in the soil. I said, what are you going to do with your garden? She says, I'm going to wait until summer because I don't know what's in there. And I'm going to see what comes up. I don't know if there's daffodils or tulips or crocuses or anything else in there. Because it was all under the soil. But there's so much potential for that garden to just burst into flower. So she just thought, I'll wait a whole few seasons so I can see what's in there. So here's the first question for us today. Do we know our full potential? Do we know what we're capable of, and do we want to reach it? See, I don't want to get to the end of life only to realize I could have had more life. You know, when we're struggling with oppression and depression and all sorts of other things and just having a down day, God didn't plan for us to have that down day. Someone else did. God wants us to have a day that's full of life. If you get up tomorrow and you get to lunchtime and you've not experienced life yet, just decide there and then, my afternoon is going to be better than my morning. I don't want to get to the end of my life and realize I could have had more, but I didn't know it, or I gave up too soon, or I was too frightened to even try, or I believed the lies of the enemy that I was useless and of no value. I want to be bursting with life. I want all of God's seeds that he's planted in my life to start to grow. I don't want any of them to lie dormant. I want folks to look at me and say, I'll have what she's having. Whatever she's got, that's what I want. I can remember the very first day that I walked into Edinburgh, Elam, Pentecost on George the Fourth Bridge. And I think it was 1986, so it was a long time ago. And I walked into that church and I'd only just heard that there was such a thing as a Pentecostal church. God took me on a holiday all the way to East Germany through the Berlin Wall to meet a girl from Glasgow who told me about a church I could go to in Edinburgh. You know, God's got us on a journey. There's so much potential in all of our lives. And she said, why don't you try Elon Pentecostal? And I went, what's that? So she began to tell me all about a Pentecostal church and that there was life inside a Pentecostal church and that you could hear from God today. She just about blew my socks off in one conversation. I said, oh, Margaret, I'm not sure about that. She went, it's okay, Sandra, I speak in tongues. This was a wee girl the same age as me from Glasgow, and I could tell her feet were grounded and she wasn't some cuckoo. And I just thought, you know what, if it's okay with Margaret, I'm sure it'll be okay with me. So I went along to Elam Pentecostal Church for the very first Sunday, sometime in August or July 1986. And I saw on the faces of these people that they had something I did not have. They were glowing. Their hands were lifted. They were worshipping God. I thought, I want what they're having. Folks, well, we need to know that God has got more potential for us, that we can live a life where other people say, I want what you're having. Here's a revelation for us this morning. God's planted seeds in the lives of each one of us. Every single one of us. He's not missed anybody out. They're already in the soil because God put them there. Some of them have been there since before we were born. I'm sure there was a reason why Mozart was good at playing the piano. God put a seed and a gift within him before he was born. God's put seeds in every single one of us. And it's funny, you can watch your children grow up and you can all be born in the same family and you can all be so different. Totally different. Think, how did I manage to have one like that? How can they be so different? Yeah, I was speaking about my brother John this week, and John was the daredevil of the family. And I'm sure my mum and dad thought, how did we manage to have a daredevil in the family? When the rest of us would just do as we were told, he was the one that wouldn't. God has put different gifts inside each one of us. He's put talents inside each one of us. Some of us today might be musical. Some of us today might be able to speak in public. There's gifts of hospitality, and there's art and craft and admin, and some people are good at sales and IT. The list is endless. You know, one of my jobs, right at the top of the list for worst job ever, for me, air hostess, I'd be thrown up on everyone. Would you like a cup of tea? Blah. Would you like a coffee? Blah. I just wouldn't be able to do it. A stewardess or whatever on a ship would be even worse. Wouldn't even be able to get out the staff room, you know, have a sick bag in front of me. Not the job for me. So God knows the gifts and the talents that are within us, and he's placed those gifts and talents in every single one of us. There's wall-to-wall talent in this room today. So just because your gift is not the same as mine doesn't mean it's not valuable. Doesn't mean it's not God-given. It takes more than one person to run a church. It takes more than one gifting. Everyone in this room is needed. We all have worth and value. People are out there right now working with the children. I thank God for them every single week that they are out there working with the children. And they actually, we don't have to tie them to a chair to do it. You know, they're there because they said, for this season, I will do it. Well, maybe we need to tie Liz to a chair, but for this season, I will do this because God has asked me to. God asks us to do things for a season because it's needed. So here's another question. Are we using our talents? Or are we sitting quietly with our hands folded, thinking we've got nothing to offer, thinking we're not good enough? Well, I wonder who put that thought in there. Because it certainly was not God. We all have gifts and talents. Don't leave them under the ground. Don't leave them lying dormant. Take them out. Dust them off. When I first married Neil, when we first married, he had a guitar. We've still got the same guitar, not this one, because that's a church guitar. We still have this guitar. We have the same box for it. We even have the same tuner that I bought him on his first birthday after we were married. Now, that guitar occasionally came out in Australia, and then we emigrated back to Scotland, and that guitar lay under the bed for years and years and years. And it would get moved occasionally and dusted occasionally, and it just didn't come out. And then all of a sudden, Neil decided God was saying to him to dust it off and to start playing again. And everything you see today, everything in worship, because worship's always been in Neil's heart, but everything you see on the guitar today is just self-taught. because he just decided he was going to play this guitar and because God had put that desire within him. Let's dust off our gifts and our talents today. Thinking that we've got nothing to offer is not from God. Don't leave them under the ground. Here's a little story about Aaron, who was Moses' brother. Talk about having something to live up to. And this story is in the Old Testament. And it's a story about Aaron's rod. Another way to put it was Aaron had a stick. You know, all the leaders had a stick. But there was something special that happened to Aaron's rod. But God wanted to show all of the leaders at this time in Israel, because there was a bit of a rebellion going on, that he'd actually had chosen Aaron. They were all complaining against him. And Moses took the rod, one from each of the leaders within the children of Israel, and he put them in the special tent before God. And this is a story, this is just a small part of the story of what happened to this Aaron's rod. And it's in Numbers chapter 17 and verse 8. And the next day, Moses went into the tent of the testimony, and behold, the rod of Aaron had sprouted and brought forth buds and produced blossom and yielded ripe almonds. This was amazing. This was a stick. This was a dead piece of wood. And God made Aaron's rod bud, blossom, and bear fruit in one night. Do you know that God can change your life in one night? God can change your life with one dream. God can change your life with one quiet time. God can change your life with one word. Just one word. You might be struggling with someone. You might come to God and say, God, I want to knock their block off. They make the spirit of slap come all over me. How am I going to deal with this person? And God might give you one word. Love. And all of a sudden, you've got the peace and you've got the patience to pick everything up and go back in and start again. And overnight, God did the most amazing thing. A piece of dead wood started to grow and produce life. If God can do that with a stick, don't you think he can do that with you and me and so much more? No matter what circumstances life has thrown at us, no matter how down we are today, God can still take that dead situation and make it grow, and he can do it in 24 hours. God wants to grow all of the potential that is inside each one of us. Do we believe that God can help us bud and blossom and grow and have a life worth living? Because to be honest, there's some days when we actually don't believe that. So I'm challenging you that the next time the negative thoughts come along, to disbelieve those and start to believe that no matter how dead the situation looks, God can still bring life. About 30 years ago, I turned around and I said to God, I really, really, really want to work for you, God. I really want to do something for you. I want to be all sold out for you. So here I am, use me. Here I am, God. Anything. Just don't ask me to speak in public. Just don't ask me to get on a microphone because I can't do that. Sweaty palms, knees knocking together, tummy churning. I can't do that. But anything else, God, will be okay. God's grown a lot of seeds since then in my life. God's realized a lot of potential since then in my life. And he can do the same in every single person here. Where we are right now isn't where we have to stay. We're all a work in progress. Why don't you turn to someone today and say, I'm a work in progress. And then why don't you tell them this, come back this time next year and I'll be even more fantastic. But God has got even more for us than this, even more than the individual gifts and talents that he's put on our lives, he's got more. Do you want to hear what more he's got for us? God has planted seeds of power. And they're in the spirit realm, but he's planted them in our spirit, in our lives. Here's the first. We're just going to look very briefly at three seeds of power. Here's the first seed of power, and it is power itself. Do we know how powerful we are? Do you know how powerful you are, and are we using it? We are just wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. We are wall-to-wall the resurrection and the life. We need to use it on a daily basis, Monday through to Sunday. You might say, Sandra, how am I powerful? Because the name of Jesus gives us power. That's how we're powerful. Philippians 2 and verse 9 says this, "Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." There's so much power. There's power in the heavens, there's power on the earth, and even under the earth for all of those demonic things. They are meant to bow the knee to the name of Jesus. Folks, we have power, and it's all because of Jesus. Whatever's coming against us must bow the knee to the name of Jesus. We can command circumstances to change in the name of Jesus. We can tell the enemy to flee in the name of Jesus. We can stand against sickness in the name of Jesus. This is an amazing seed, and God has planted it in my life, and he has planted it in your life. There is power in the name of Jesus. Here's something you could think about. Spend one day this coming week just speaking the name of Jesus. And let me know if your life changes. Let me know if your circumstances change. Here's the second seed, and it's the seed of authority. We have authority. Do we know it? Are we using it? Matthew 28 and verse 18 says this, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go." Therefore, go with this authority and use it. We have a God-given authority given to us by Jesus himself, and we're meant to go and use it to bring life. I've got a little illustration. Okay, here's the authority, the word of God. Everything that he says, the word of God is my authority. Chris and Jimmy, you stand there. Actually, I'm going to make Chris God. I forgot about that. Because, well, Jimmy knew that anyway, but Chris is God. So here's the authority. God's got the authority. You be God. And Jimmy, you're going to be Adam. I'm going to be the enemy. Okay? And Neil, could you stand here? You're going to be Jesus. Okay? So here's my illustration. So God has the authority. And when he creates Adam, just come round this way a wee bit, Adam, so they can see you. You move around the corner. God created Adam, and he said, "Adam, I'm going to give you the authority over all of the earth and everything you've created." Adam had authority over creation. There's scriptures that say that. And along comes the enemy, and the enemy says to Adam, "Actually, Adam, you don't have everything. God's missed something out. But if you do what I say, you're going to have the knowledge of God from the tree of good and evil." So is that okay with you, Adam? So Adam and Eve unfortunately handed that authority over to the enemy. So then the enemy had some authority on this earth. But Jesus came along, and the word of God was that the enemy would crush his heel, but Jesus would crush his head. So he came along, and the Bible tells me that he went down to the gates of hell itself, and he led captivity captive, and he took the authority back off the enemy. Now he has the authority, he's got that authority, and he gives it back to man. Give man his authority. And that's the end of the story, because we still have it. No one has taken it from us. Thank you very much, everybody. Round of applause. More drama classes next week. We still have that God-given authority. God gave it to Adam. He gave it to Satan. But Jesus took it back and gave it back to man. And that is a fact. He has no authority on this earth. We have the authority, and we can stand against anything that he's trying to do. We have authority on this earth because of Jesus. We have authority in the spirit realm because of Jesus. Maybe, Sandra, I don't feel like I have authority or that I can command anything. John 14 and verse 14 says this, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." But I love the Amplified, because the Amplified says, "Yes, I will grant. I myself will do for you whatever you ask in my name, as presenting all that I am." See, authority is not us commanding something in our name. It's not us thinking we're powerful. It's us knowing that Jesus is powerful. Could I repeat that? Because I don't want, if you don't go away with anything else today, go away with this one thing. If you don't go away with anything else, it's not us thinking that we in ourselves are powerful, but it's us knowing that Jesus is powerful and we're in him. See, our life is wrapped up in him. So our power is in Jesus' name. It's all about him. And this is the seed. Here is a seed that Jesus has planted in each one of us. We present all that he did at the cross. See, the scripture says presenting all that he is. And we present what he did when the doctor gives us that negative report. We say, I stand against the sickness and I present all that Jesus is to this report. Because whatever report you've been given, the first report does not need to be the last report. If we can present all that Jesus did at the cross, then life will explode into our circumstances and we will be bursting with life. Who wants to be bursting with life today? Yes, then whatever comes against us, we need to present all that Jesus is. And that brings life. James 4 and verse 7 says this, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We have authority to resist everything that's coming against us. But we're the ones that must do the resisting. Don't accept the attack. We need to resist it. If he's attacking our children, don't accept it. If he's attacking our health, don't accept it. So here's a prophetic word. Are you ready for a prophetic word from God? Although I'm so excited about the whole thing, I think it's all prophetic. But here is something to write down. Here is something to go away with. It may not be for everyone, but I think we could all get something for it, and it's this. That at some point in our lives, we're accepting things that we are meant to be resisting. We get up on a Monday morning, we accept that mood. Oh, I'm just in a bad mood today. I'm just in a down mood. We accept the mood. We're meant to be resisting it. We get up and we've got a headache. That's it. I've just got one of those headaches today. We're meant to be resisting it. We are accepting things in our lives that God has told us we need to resist. It's up to us to use our authority. No resisting means no fleeing. God planted the authority in our lives, but we need to use it. Here's my final seed today, and it is the seed of healing. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by whose stripes you were healed. Jesus planted this seed, and it was a very expensive seed for him to plant. It was not cheap. He paid for it with his own blood. God said yes to healing 2,000 years ago when he said yes to mankind crucifying his son, ripping the flesh off his back by the stripes of Jesus with the whip. When the soldiers did that, the 39 lashes, I believe it paid for our healing. It was a very expensive price to pay. Jesus paid with his blood. God paid with his own son. Jesus has said yes, and God has said yes to healing. And it was 2,000 years ago at the cross. It's a done deal. We don't need to come and beg God for healing. He's already said yes. Healing is a fact, and it's for us today, and it's already planted in the spirit realm. A good few years ago, I was praying for a friend who was very, very ill, and God gave me a vision of a cross. But if you can picture it, the cross was way up there in heaven. I was here in the room, and the cross was a wooden cross way up there that I could see in my mind's eye. And on the crossbar was written in block capital letters, one word, and it was healing. The healing's engraved in the cross. And then I was down here praying for my friend, and between me and that cross, there must have been about seven clouds, all stopping the healing from getting through. And there was different words written on all those clouds. And for all of us, it might be something different. For one, it might just be lack of knowledge. You've never been told that God wants to heal you. You think maybe he sent the healing. Sent the sickness. Some people still think that today. Oh, God's allowing me to go through this sickness for whatever reason. God, we don't put sickness on our children. Good parents don't do that. Parents who put sickness on their children get locked up. Or they get the children taken off them. God is a good father. He did not put any sickness on any one of us. So there's a lack of knowledge there. And then there might be, it might be hereditary. So you might have to, if you don't know that, you might just have to pray a specific way. I break this hereditary inherited thing. I break this curse in Jesus' name. There can be curses. There can be all sorts of things. That can just be that you don't know the word of God, so you don't know how to use that. It could be that you just need someone to stand with you. There could be a million reasons why that healing has not come down through into our bodies. But it's not my God that hasn't paid the price for it. It's not God that hasn't said yes. We must believe that we have that seed and never give up. Believe it and speak it. Believe it and speak it. If by his stripes I have been healed, then I am going to see that healing in Jesus' name. And I command with my authority in Jesus' name the sickness to go. We need to believe it and speak it as many times as it takes and don't give up and keep doing it until we see the healing. It can come in stages. We have communion every week in this church. We don't even wave it when it's Christmas service. We don't wave it when it's the Easter service. I don't intend to ever wave communion. When you come and we meet in a large group in this church, we will have communion. Because Jesus needs to be glorified. Jesus needs to be lifted high. The power of the cross of Jesus is in communion. And it will be lifted high in this church as long as we're pastoring here. Because that has to be the important thing. I don't want to go to a Sunday club. I'd just stay in my bed if it's a Sunday club. I want to come where there's power. I want to come where there's the reality of God. And I want us to remember it every single week that we do that. I don't want to stop believing for healings and miracles ever. I believe God's given us healing and I want to see it growing in each one of our lives. These are only some of the seeds of life that God has planted. We could write books on them today. I've just given you the three that came first to my mind that I felt were really need to know you've got power. You really need to know that you've got authority. And healing is just where my heart is. So I thought, well, I'll just throw that in for free. Okay? So these are just some of the seeds that God has planted in us. And all we have to do is believe it. And as we start to believe it, then we will feel like speaking it. And as we start to speak it, we will begin to see it and see these seeds grow. Whatever the problem is, the seed containing the answer is already there. So start believing and start speaking. See, believing plus speaking equals growing. That's how you grow the seeds. Believe they're growing even when we can't see them yet. Often we come to God and we beg God to do something. God, I'm begging you to do this. Today, please stop begging. Please put the bowl away, the hungry and homeless sign. We don't need it anymore. We're coming to our daddy in heaven. Children don't need to beg good daddies to provide their needs. We need to stop begging because today God's saying, I have already planted the answers. Whatever the problem, he's already planted the answers. We just need to find out what they are. Last scripture today, Deuteronomy 29 and verse 19. I have set before you life and death, the blessings and the curses. Therefore, choose life that you and your descendants may live. This is what God wants for us. He wanted it in the New Testament and he wanted it in the Old Testament. He's saying to the children of God, children of Israel, choose life. You've got a choice to make. Those are the only two choices today, by the way. You can only go 50-50. You can't phone a friend or ask the audience. There are only two choices. Choose life or choose death. If we don't believe God's word, we're choosing death. We've got a choice. And if we really want life, we need to choose it. The soil where all of these seeds grow is in us. It's in our mind, everything we think, and it's in our emotions, everything that we feel. All that we feel... And all that we think is working towards growing seeds in us for life or death. So the minute we hear those negative thoughts, we need to stop them where they are because they're just growing death. They're not growing life. Let's choose thoughts of life and then let's choose words of life. Let's make a decision to believe that what God has planted, he has planted in us as well as in anybody else. Let's make a decision to pour life on every dead thought or word that we have and arrest it exactly where it is. Get it at gunpoint and say, I'm not having it anymore. Get out my life. If the enemy comes along and says, your life's as good as dead, It's over, and no one could use you anyway. At your age or in your condition, no one could use you. Shout back, I am not dead yet. I am still growing seeds. Tell them that you've still got life in you. Tell them that there's still potential there. We might not have arrived, but at least we've left. I might not have arrived. I might not be where I need to be, but I've left. I'm trying. Okay, I'm trying to get there. Let's start to believe in our God-given potential, because it's in each one of us. Let's start to believe that God means our life to be for living. I'm just going to ask Neil if he'll just come and lead us in some worship.